This is being brought to you by Midnight Triple Feature. This podcast will contain adult language and spoilers. Enjoy.
Faces in the big gun down. It comes suddenly with the speed of a bullet. It comes slowly with the crack of a whip. It comes unexpectedly with the flick of a knife. It comes brutally with the charge of a bull. Lee Van Cleef, the big gun down. Strikes without pity. Big gun down. The big gun down in Technicolor.
Welcome to this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. We are actually going to do 1966. Big Gundown that was just released by Grindhouse Releasing. I'm Mike. Adam's here.
Yep.
Connor's here.
What's up?
All right. So, I'll take it away.
So, this is the, as Mike mentioned, third Blu-ray release from Grindhouse Releasing. We've reviewed, well, Mike and I reviewed Corruption. The three of us did American Hippie in Israel. So, we're kind of, at this point, I think, reviewing every Grindhouse Releasing release. This is their biggest release yet. It's a four-disc set. Contains the 95-minute uncut American version on DVD and Blu-ray, the 110-minute Italian director's cut on Blu-ray, and the full soundtrack on CD. So, The Big Gundown is a spaghetti western directed by Sergio Sollima, starring Lee Van Cleef and Thomas Milione. I'm assuming that people know what a spaghetti western is, but if you don't, it is an Italian... It's an American western filmed in Italy. So, it's a... An imitation of an American Western, done in their own style.
It's amazing how much Italy looks like the West.
That's Spain. So,
That's Spain?
Yeah. So from what I got from the special features, they shot in Spain, and that was the thing, is they went there, and they're like, holy crap, this looks like the American West. It's crazy how much they can do that. So, there's a ton of features, like interviews and stuff. So, I watched the two interviews with the director. And one thing I found interesting is he's offended by the term spaghetti western. He doesn't like that term.
Yeah.
Really?
He says they are Italian westerns. He says that if you call it a spaghetti western, that's why I want to mention this, because you said it looks like the American West.
Yeah.
He said a spaghetti western sort of indicates that it's obviously Italian.
Right, right.
Whereas he doesn't feel that his movie is obviously Italian.
Which it definitely is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he says, it was great. He had a nice little way of describing. He's like, a spaghetti western would be if John Wayne walked into a bar and ordered spaghetti. Because that would be obviously Italian. But you know what I mean? That doesn't happen. So he believes spaghetti westerns exist, but that they're an imitation of an imitation. Like The Thing or something.
I get that, but that's something that a spaghetti western director would say.
Right, because he sees this film as, you know, something... above what that genre is, because he says that destroys the genre because they keep imitating themselves over and over and over again until they're just everybody gets tired of it.
I had to rewind a few times when I was watching the feature. I never even finished.
I didn't get through all the features. There's
so
many.
So many, and it's so hard to keep up on the subtitles because he's talking so fast.
Yeah, he does.
So I'd rewind it and try, and so I never even finished it.
I got through like his stuff and... Millions interview, and I watched one or two of the others. But it's funny because he says he blames Italy for its own masochism of sort of destroying their own genres. And he says this is like a thing that's purely Italian. But this is like, isn't this what Hollywood does do?
Yeah.
Like, don't they just do the same shit over and over again?
It's just a thing
that
a business does, I guess.
Yeah.
Because
right.
It's profitable.
It's funny
they do it
that
again,
he blames it as like uniquely Italian when like look at like found footage movies.
Yeah.
Like Hollywood just spins him out again and again and again until nobody wants to see him anymore. So, but he wanted to make something that was not a spaghetti western. He wanted to do something that was sort of against that, something that had a message, I guess. It was a little bit political and whatnot.
I want to make a deep movie.
Right. A little bit more background. There was a sequel to this. It's called Run Man Run, and it's completely focused on Cuccio.
Oh, really?
Because this movie made his character was so popular, at least in Italy, that he actually got his own movie because of it, because people loved this character so much.
Wow. I when they were riding away at the end, spoiler, but,
We're going to spoil it.
I thought, like, oh, sequel. Like, these guys are going to team up. Like, this is awesome. I want to see. I got to look up.
Nolly Van Cleef in the sequel.
Oh, that sucks.
All right, so let's just get right into it. It opens with our main character, which is Jonathan Corbett. He's a bounty hunter, and he's after three bandits. And so we immediately see Lee Van Cleef and his three guys, and then it kind of sets him up immediately as this, gunslinger? Is that the right word?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you... So I don't know. For whatever reason, I've never, like, really... I always think Eastwood when I think of this. Yeah. So what do you think of Lee Van Cleef as sort of...
Well, he's a bounty hunter.
Right.
Right. So I actually like him.
Right.
I actually have several of his movies. And they're all westerns, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's done a ton of westerns.
Yeah. I got that 12 movie pack. And on there is four Lee Van Cleef movies.
Right.
So, and then I have another one that's got like four or five of them.
Yeah.
So
he looks like a villain for some reason.
Right. And they say that like he doesn't, like he acts with his face.
Yeah.
You know, like he just has a look. He doesn't have to act. He just has a look.
Yeah. A lot of times in the movie, he'll just stare at people.
He does look like a villain. Yeah.
And it's like, I'd be creeped out if I was me. Yeah.
I think he's just supposed to like be,
he was good though.
He's supposed to be intimidating, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He definitely is.
He's very serious. So Corbett takes out the three guys, so we immediately see that he's, you know, like this expert gunslinger. I do find it interesting because he's very, like when you watch like the Eastwood stuff, like the Man with No Name stuff, he's really like dirty and like, you know, he just kind of like wanders into town, but Corbett's so put together.
A lot of the characters in this movie are.
Right.
Like when they get to the farm too, like all the ranch hand's hair is like all nice and
manicured. It's funny
because
he's so like
put
together.
Supposed to be out in the mountains.
I know. He's so clean and like he wears the same clothes. He never changes his clothes. But next we go to a wedding and we learn that there's been a 12-year-old girl who's been raped and murdered.
Right.
And that Cuccio is wanted. He's a poor Mexican man. So of course Corbett is sort of automatically takes on this job. And then we get a series of, it's interesting the way it plays out, because I was really expecting this to be a very typical, straightforward story of a bounty hunter hunting down a bandit.
Right.
But it's not really how it plays out.
No.
It's like that in the beginning, but yeah.
Yeah, but even at it starts like slowly kind of unravels a little bit.
And I love how the characters just keep turning the tables on each other.
Right, that's
like they use their wit more than like their strength.
Yeah, like I was going to say.
Like he stabs him in the ass with the spike. And
yeah, like outside of that opening scene, Corbett doesn't use his gun again until he gets to the ranch.
Yeah.
It's like 30 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
And except for this, there's that awesome scene where Cuccio's with the young girl, the Mormon.
Yeah,
and
that was
throws,
so funny.
Remember when he throws the knife though, and then he shoots the gun, and he fucking that was awesome.
Yeah, that was funny later when he
I
was
know,
like, yeah.
He was gonna, like, I saved your daughter, like 13-year-old, and he's like, she's my wife.
My fourth wife.
So it is a series of like Cuccio really outwitting Corbett over and over and over again.
Right. Yep.
And,
three different times.
Right. Well, the ranch one is next, and the ranch one is, like, really fucking weird. So, like, what's what's going on in the ranch? Like, did these ranchers just, like, wander into the ranch and, like, have sex with this woman, and then she just keeps them?
Dude, it's just, like, a big ranch of Italian bodybuilders, like, with nice hair.
Yeah.
And
what do they do?
They're just constantly standing around, like, looking up at the window.
Yeah,
while
fight
they're
bulls?
I don't think
they got to have sex with her. Because
really?
Because at one point when he's inside, the other guy said, I don't remember the exact conversation, but it was almost like they never had the chance to go in there, so why does he get to go in there? Almost.
There's no way, though, because this chick is banging everybody.
I know, I thought she had slept with all, my thought was like she slept with everybody one time. And then,
like some dirty Mexican guy walks in, and she's like, oh. bring him on in. Like, and then another guy walks in, she's like, oh, bring him on in.
Yeah, I know. Like, every single guy that walks in, she's like, bring him in, give him some alcohol, I'm going to sleep with him. So I'm thinking, like, she sleeps with him once, and maybe then they just stick around waiting, and then, like, they never get to sleep with her again.
Just camping out in front of the
And he was going to steal from her, too.
I know. Yeah, he was going to take, what is like, the necklace or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of interesting thing about Cuchillo is he's not, like, I mean, he's not, like, a good guy, because he does throw the knife at what's his name. He cut up that dude's face early on. You see his face.
He's not evil.
But he's not evil, right? He didn't, like, make him, like, likable.
Yeah. And he didn't shoot the sheriff when he could, or he's not a sheriff, but the bounty hunter when he could.
Right, and he could have done it plenty of times. It's weird because he does shit that's, like, bad, but they somehow make this guy really, really likable.
Yeah.
Like, more likable than Corbett. I thought it was more fun
watching. Yeah, he was an asshole sometimes. Yeah. Like, he just left that chick, and here's the other punched thing, out though, that dude.
And this is interesting that you say that, because in the 110-minute cut, a bunch of the stuff that was cut was Corbett being less of an asshole.
Oh, really?
And I guess when they cut out, like when they brought it over to the United States, they said, well, we need this guy to be your typical American gunslinger, which means...
So make him an asshole.
Right. All he wants... Yeah, he just wants to kill this guy.
Yeah.
So, like, the scene where where Cuchillo, like, fakes the rattlesnake thing and takes the horse.
Yeah.
When he comes up to that dude in the wagon, there's, like, more footage in there of him, like, trying to convince the guy to give him his horse. But in the 95-minute cut, it's not like... He basically is just, like, fucking...
Yeah, because in the movie, he just, like, asks him, and then he disagrees, and then he just punches him out.
Yeah, and he just takes the horse. Yeah. It's different. There's, like, there's a ton of stuff like that. It's interesting. there's more scenes with the monks, too, because he goes to the monk place, and...
That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and, it, like, the movie, it changes completely, because it all of a sudden, like, it's almost, like, two different halves, because the first half is a typical, like, chase, bounty hunter chase movie.
And that's really what, and then they get to Mexico, and it's more like...
It's completely different at this point, because Corbett's, like, taken out of the game.
Right.
Of course, and we're gonna spoil here, so if you haven't seen it, and you plan on seeing it, I think it's kind of obvious that this is gonna happen, but Cuchillo is not guilty of raping the 12-year-old girl, it's the little rich guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I started sensing that, like, halfway through the movie.
Well, he says, like, at one point, like, you don't even know that I did it or something. You just assume I did it.
And especially when they start trying to make him, like, a good character. Like, when he puts down the watch and doesn't steal it.
That's
what
I'm saying. They start making
him likeable. They're gonna, like, team up or something.
But I do think it's interesting because, like, it goes back to what Salima said, is that he was trying to make a movie that was trying to say something a little bit more. So, he was actually dealing with themes of, like, class and race relations. And all I could think about was I'm watching the movie and I'm like, you ever see like those mothers on TV and like their kids get kidnapped and like their kids disappear and they're like, a 6-foot tall black man came into my house and stole my children. And she always threw them in the car and drowned them in the river. And it was always her, but she always blames the black dude or the Hispanic.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They're like, the poor Mexican guy did it. And everybody believed. And I'm like, holy shit, this is like 1966.
Yeah.
This shit still happens today.
Yeah.
So, and then the idea of, you know, like, the rich, this guy who's, you know, he's a millionaire, he wants to build a railroad. He can sort of control.
Just concerned with profits.
Right.
And whatever.
But he can control, you know, the rich are in control, and he can basically put down whoever he wants.
And he even mentions at one time, like, you're too smart to be a senator or something like that.
Right.
So you can pay off the senator.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And this is where we meet one of my favorite... Well, we met him a little earlier, but we really meet one of my favorite characters, which is the Baron.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's a gnarly monocle,
God.
That's a really cool monocle.
Haircut.
Could you imagine back in the day walking around with that thing, a monocle?
Like, this.
Like, did they wear them all the time, or was that just so that... Like, I didn't get why he had it in all the time.
Know.
That's gotta hurt your eye.
Well, he took it out because, like...
Yeah, when he goes to shoot, he takes it out.
Yeah,
it's
like he
really
puts
it
up,
it.
And then he, like, he opens his eye really wide, and it, like, falls out, and it's...
Just get some glasses, dude.
It's such I don't know, man. It's such a bizarre character for a movie like this. It's like...
Yeah, it was an Austrian baron or something.
Yeah, but I loved it. Like,
yeah,
and all he wants to do is have a shootout with Corbett. Like, the whole movie. So you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, but the way this went down was pretty surprising. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you mean at the end there, the way it...
Yeah.
We do get to see, actually, like, the stuff that I really like is, even more so than the gunfights, is, like, anytime Cuchillo uses the knife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean,
that final scene.
Yeah, well, two of them. One in the brothel where he gets the guy in the neck with the knife.
Yeah.
And then the final scene where he doesn't want the gun, but he takes the knife and it goes, literally, like, gets him right in the head with it.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite stuff.
Well, that pretty much goes back to his roots. He didn't have a whole ton of money.
Exactly.
So he wasn't going to buy a gun and bullets. Exactly. So he trained with the knife.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Salima said. Is he's like, I had to think of this guy as, if he were a poor peasant, he wouldn't have a gun. He wouldn't know how to use a gun.
Oh, yeah. That scene where he gave him the knife
right.
to cauterize him, that was so fucking stupid. Why would he give him the knife? Come on. Even if
but
you're
he
bit by
his
a
gun.
Snake.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, you're saying Corbett gave him the knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was
dumb. Obviously, yeah.
It was pretty stupid. That's the thing. Is like, Chio's almost smarter than him every single time.
Yeah.
But I think it plays into the whole thing of, like, Corbett, he says later, like, I think, doesn't he say something like, I always knew something was off, something wasn't right?
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to play into him, like, always suspecting that maybe this guy wasn't guilty.
Yeah.
And
it makes sense that he would outwit him every time because he has, you know, he's so dirt poor and
he's used
probably
to having
to deal with
that.
The situation
right.
a lot. And like, even when they get in the jail, he already has the knife.
I love that scene, too. We're like,
that was really cool.
Again, it's like, but again, he could have, like, he doesn't do anything. He just, he doesn't try to do anything to Corbett. He just, like, I just want to leave. Like, I've been here before. Yeah, I know how to get out, you know.
Yeah, he never actually tries to hurt him.
Ever.
Ever.
The only time, like I said, is when he throws the knife. When he walks up to him and he's with the girl and he throws a knife at Corbett in the beginning.
Well, when he shoots it out of the air, he's probably like, okay.
That's like, right, it. I guess I'm not going to. But he had plenty of opportunities. He easily could have killed him multiple times and he didn't.
All he just wanted to get away and go home. That's it.
That's all he wanted to do is go home. Go to the sea.
Yeah.
So, the final scenes, the shootout between the Baron and Corbett is awesome. And this is where I want to talk about the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because the soundtrack in this thing, like...
It was good.
It's
really
good.
Yeah.
It's Ennio Morricone. Who, also scored... the Leon stuff and like tons. Tarantino uses this guy all the time. He samples his shit all the time. It's good.
Yeah.
And like, this is really good because he takes it's Beethoven's Verlies for the, like, when the Baron comes out, it's like that piano.
Yeah, yeah.
With like the guitar and
it's
so fucking good.
Really is.
Now, I mean, I love Westerns.
Yeah.
And I've seen, there's not a whole lot of bad ones, but the ones that are bad.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it throws you off if the music sucks.
Right.
You know, and I've seen some Westerns where the movies are really good, and the soundtrack was just crap,
right.
You know? It was like the same song recycled over and over, and this movie didn't do that.
Right.
It changed through the whole film.
It's so good. And it was like one of my favorite things about the movie was hearing that soundtrack. It's so good.
Yeah.
And like, it's like that, and then like, he even did like the wedding theme at the near the beginning. It's just like a variation of the overall theme, and it's... Morricone, I mean, the guy's ridiculous. He's scored over 400 films.
Wow.
He scored The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's done
did he?
Yeah, I mean, he's done a ton of stuff.
That's good, too. You can get that on vinyl.
Right. He did that one.
Yeah. And that was popular.
It's interesting because he, like I said, he's worked with Tarantino recently, and he came out and he said that he doesn't ever want Tarantino to use his music again.
Really?
Because he felt like Tarantino... didn't know how to properly use his music, and that he would only use it when it didn't make sense.
What, really?
And that's because, and if you think about it, it's because the way Tarantino makes films is he takes the parts and pieces that he likes, and he compiles them into one thing. So he was taking little bits and pieces of Morricone's music and putting it in. And he, even though he collaborated with him, he was not happy with the final results.
Which movie was it recently?
Inglourious Basterds has his music. And he doesn't... And the other thing, too, is it bothers him, I think, is that Tarantino doesn't write new scores. So he takes music that already exists from, he used a lot of Morricone in Inglourious Basterds and in Django.
All his movies, really. Yeah.
Right. Because he's, got that spaghetti western influence. Yeah. I don't really know what else to say. Like I said, there's the end scene that the shootout between the Baron, I love that scene, too. Because you're sort of building up to it for so long.
It didn't really go the way I thought it was going to go, but...
What do you think was going to happen?
Like, I thought it was going to go... It was going to be one of those really long shootouts. Because we didn't have a really big shootout in this movie.
The ranch was the closest thing we got to that.
That's what I thought was coming, too. Because they had all the other guys with them.
Yeah,
and it's called the big gunned down. Yeah, so I was like, okay, this is the Baron, big gun down. Didn't really turn out
and
that
the type
way,
of character
awesome.
The Baron is, you know, he was going to come in real slow. He's going to be cocky about it because he's, you know, a better shooter.
Right.
And it didn't really happen that way.
No, you're right. Well, it's almost like too...
And he's faster than him, too. He gets him first. And
he gets him first.
He just wins because he rolls on the ground, and the Baron's just standing there.
Right. I mean, the thing is that doofus. Corbett, I think, is supposed to be more... Like, Baron is so sophisticated.
He's proper.
Right, right. That he would never do anything like... He
I'm
would
not
never
roll around
that,
on the ground.
Right,
yeah,
he would never roll away. Whereas Corbett is going to do...
What he needs to do to survive.
Right. He works... He's in the West. You know, he's a bounty hunter. He's not a bodyguard.
Yeah.
I did like it, though. You're right. I it's funny. I didn't... Never really occurred to me, but yeah, there wasn't like a huge. It was three confrontations between your three villains, really, and that's it. That was the end of the movie.
And then the shootout with the.
The railroad guy.
The railroad guy. Yeah.
That's funny. There's another, which was pretty cool too, because when, because he's got Corbett, you know, and then Cuchillo kicks the rifle up or the shotgun or whatever.
Yeah, he flips it up to him.
It's pretty awesome too.
Yeah, that was good.
And there's a cut scene here too. On the longer cut, where the dude, remember the guy who's, I think it was his house they were at, who was giving him money to help him build a railroad?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's
like
a whole scene in the full version where he's like, after he shoots the guy, he's like, I just lost $1 million because of you. He says it's to Corbett, and he's like, but I don't really care. And he just jumps on his horse and leaves. That's completely cut out of the 95-minute cut.
That sounds kind of awesome.
It was. It was really, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, that's missing. I was like, I laughed. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I like the way, like, I mean, everybody's heard the saying, you know, I shoot from the hip. And that comes from these movies.
Right, yeah.
And I like the way they do it in this one because it's quick. He pulls it out and then he just shoots immediately after it comes out of the holster.
It's awesome. Oh, yeah.
And that's where it comes from. It comes from shooting from the hip. And he's good at it.
Yeah.
So it's a great, for me anyway, it's like, I loved it. Like I said, I watched it twice. I'm going to watch it again. It's my favorite release from them, so from Grindhouse.
Yeah, it's good.
Bar.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Couldn't believe how much I enjoy. I like westerns, like you know.
Yeah.
And I, you know, specifically like spaghetti westerns because they're just dirtier and more violent. And this was like, I guess when it came out, was kind of relegated to like a double bill and just kind of forgotten in the States. It was
a
big hit overseas, but in the States, it was just like, I don't know why, but
it seems to happen quite a bit, though.
It does, yeah.
It's really good. It's really creative. It doesn't take the easy way out on anything.
It doesn't at all. And there's an actual message and tone to the whole thing. It's not just a straightforward story. There's a lot going on. So my only other thing I would say is if you're listening to this and you want to, like, go back and watch the old spaghetti westerns. Don't look at what comes out today as that's an homage and be like, that's a spaghetti western because it's not. You know what I mean? Like, this is a spaghetti western.
Mm-hmm.
I only say Tarantino because he's...
You're talking about Django.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I liked Django for what it was, but that is not this.
It's a spaghetti southern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Django.
Yeah. That's not this. And if he was trying to make this, he didn't make this. It's
not
the same. You know, like, this movie is... there's nothing... It's... I don't know.
It's like a modern interpretation.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not... There's no tongue-in-cheek to it. There's,
no.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a real movie. They're trying to tell a real story. He's not... It's an original concept that they didn't just...
There's not a 10-minute scene with clan members arguing about
exactly,
how they...
Exactly, right.
This isn't just a bunch of shootouts and people riding horses.
Yeah, exactly. There,
there's a whole lot more to this.
There's no dramatic fucking zoom-ins onto faces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what you're going to get with a Tarantino.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. So, like, when I watch this, I wonder, like... Where if he's because he pulled music from this movie, you know, like this clearly wasn't really an influence on that. So I'm like, I don't know.
Have you seen the original Django films?
No,
I haven't either. Three of them.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah. I got three of them. Yeah.
So are they similar at all to like what he was going for?
Who?
The Django films, the earlier ones.
Have you
for
seen?
What Tarantino
no, I
did.
No, I haven't watched the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
So I would say go back. Go back to the 60s and at least watch the Leon stuff, watch this, and then, like, get a real feel for what a spaghetti western really is. And I think you'll be happy. You know, like you said, Connor, like, you almost sort of wrote these off. You know, it's like,
I've seen a few bad ones.
And they're out there.
They were just, yeah.
And you need to really go to, like, the good ones.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see there's some really good ones. So. And I think...
Actually, I sort of have seen, like, a tongue-in-cheek one. Have you ever seen Roy Colt and Winchester Jack? We have seen that.
No,
movie.
Was that an older one?
Yeah, that's by Bava. It's definitely more of
a Bava
tongue-in-cheek. Okay. Just guys constantly
is
like getting
comedy,
in fights.
Though?
Sort of, yeah.
Mill Creek has a 100 set spaghetti. There's some good titles on there, but you got to weed through the really bad ones that are on there because they tend to always have bad ones. But you weed through them, there are some really good ones on there. And there's a lot of Lee Van Cleef's ones on there.
Yeah, and you can get Blue Underground has, it's like a triple feature of the sequel to this, Run Man Run, with, what is it, like Shoot Django, whatever it is, and then like another one.
Yeah.
So you can actually sort of see some of those.
but is the sequel supposed to be good? I definitely check that out.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Cuccio, and he's trying to find like some hidden gold. And he's being chased, and he's racing against like another group. It's something, I don't know, it was successful, I guess. I haven't seen it. But I think that's it. Grindhouse releasing, I think their next release might be Scum of the Earth. So, I've never seen that either.
Yeah,
it's either that or The Swimmer. So if it's Scum of the Earth, I'll definitely get that one, because I've wanted to see that for a long time. It's like a backwoods hillbilly type movie.
Cool.
So, but this one, I highly recommend this one.
Oh, yeah.
Highly recommend The Big Gundam.
Definitely. Yeah. One of the best spaghetti westerns I've ever seen.
It's so good.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yep, check it out.
So, it's available now, so. All right, anything else?
That's it.
Running like a hare, like a deer, like a rabbit. Danger in the air, coming near, you can smell it. And you're painting like a hare, like a deer, like a rabbit. Running from a snare, onto fear, is a habit. Hurry on and on and on and on. Hurry on and on, hurry on and on. Run and run and run and run and run until you know you're free. Run to the end of the world till you find the place where the never, never, never...